get to the Jets
when we come back.
Your partner's actually kind of happy.
Maybe things are changing. BT, been waiting an hour to talk about the Jets, and I started the show by saying there's good football and there's bad football. Well, the Giants played bad football. I thought the Jets played good football yesterday.
I'm very excited about the future. Listen, of course you want to win the game, and of course it stings when that 60-yarder, which could have been good from 70, that thing was drilled by Boswell. It hurts for sure, but I look at it a couple of ways here. Number one, the Jets were ready to play. They were ready to play in the first half because the stats told us that. The Jets did not punt on offense. They didn't commit a turnover. This is the first half. They didn't allow a sack. They had just two penalties, one of which was on Simpson, which was going to get Fields' back, which I have no issue with. They ran the ball 20 times, which showed me that they were going to, you know, follow through on their commitment to run. I thought their play calling was very good. They put Fields in good spots. They looked pretty poised, and they looked well-conditioned. So to me, it was emblematic of a tough, focused offseason by a rookie head coach, which to me portends good things.
Yeah, I don't even know if I could say I look at him as a rookie. He is obviously, by definition, a rookie head coach. But what I see is a guy who has been preparing for this opportunity far too long. And he should have probably gotten an opportunity. I don't know why he hasn't. But he should have gotten an opportunity to be a head coach many years ago. When they talk about the age, yesterday they mentioned it with Tomlin and Aaron Glenn are the same age.
Yeah.
Tomlin's been doing it for 20 years, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Aaron Glenn. Now, I wanted to hire Pete Carroll, and obviously he had success with the Raiders, so it's just a totally different philosophy. Aaron Glenn is the right guy, and I feel like you could say that definitively. It doesn't mean that the Jets are going to win a lot of games. It doesn't mean that he's going to be able to overcome the ineptitude of the owners or whatever other. Aaron Glenn is a true leader of men. When he gets up there and addresses the post-game commentary stuff, he gives you honest answers. He's not a machine that's talking in circles like Brian Daboll and won't acknowledge or answer anything. He hits stuff head on. Hey, you guys are talking about the penalties because people were getting on them for... I got into this actually last night on Sports Night with Eamon McEnany, where I was like, to me, it's not about moral victories, but I was not judging the Jets on wins and losses this year. Certainly not yet. I wanted to see a team that they could be proud of, like Aaron Glenn said. That's a team you could be proud of. The Jets competed at the highest level against the Steelers. All right, they lost a couple of plays. Fumbles on kickoffs, that happens. Like, I got news for you. Mistakes happen. Derrick Henry fumbled the game away last night.
Yeah.
Anybody want to cut him? That happens. Now, where you got to get to eventually, BT, is a spot where one mistake is not going to kill you. But they also talk about the penalty on Quincy Williams. Like, okay.
That was a dumb one.
Yeah, but
both feet
still
are out of bounds. That was stupid. That was the one penalty I couldn't say. And the procedural thing as well.
But you're in real time there. Like, you're trying to make a play. You don't know where the out of bounds is. Yeah, all right, you can clean
that's
that stuff up.
That's your job to know where it is, though.
Well, I mean, but
you got to know. That was the right call. It was a bad penalty.
I'm not saying it was the wrong call. I'm saying that I'm not going to say that the Jets showed a lack of discipline because of the fumble or the Simpson penalty or even that Williams penalty.
Yep.
I think the other stuff that Glenn talked about, the false starts, all those little things being cleaned up, Justin Fields was fantastic. So I looked at a team that clearly we talked about what they were supposed to do with Aaron Glenn, what he wanted to do, they did it in week one.
They did. And if you told me that they would score 32 and give up 34, I would say I don't see that script. Not that the Jets defense is going to be amazing, because they do have a real issue at corner opposite Sauce, and even their third level, you know, Adams missed a ton of tackles. Cisco, I don't love him. Like, the Jets are a work in progress still. But, you know, the one thing that is very interesting to me about where this goes, and who knows, maybe it was just one terrific game by Justin Fields, and he kind of goes back to what maybe some of you think he's going to go back to, which I don't think, because I pointed out a few times here, you know, each year completion percentage got a little bit better. He went to a situation like Zach Wilson here and Donald here and all the other quarterbacks that died here. His destination just happened to be Chicago with no offensive imagination, no offensive line. So he's out there making mistakes, trying to be an athlete. So he has gotten better. But what is appealing to me about him is that this year is about culture and just transitioning from Loserville to expectations and accountability, all the things that we demand as fans. And it's a low-risk financial commitment to Justin Fields to see what he had. And the thing that needs to be said, I think they said it on the broadcast yesterday, Justin Fields, when he used to leave the pocket in Chicago, he would just try to, you know, make something happen and run for his life. When you see him scrambling now, His eyes are downfield trying to make a play, trying to make a throw. And that tells me that he's grown, that he's matured, that he sees the field better. I can't wait to watch him play again.
I need to see more of Justin Fields, but he was spectacular yesterday. And his first touchdown throw to Garrett Wilson had some touch on it. Yeah. It was thrown perfectly.
Yeah.
So he was good. But my thing, he was great yesterday. I don't know if he could continue that. And if he does, the Jets are going to win a lot of football games. My bigger thing is that they said they were going to run the football, and they did that. And they did it on the Steelers' big, bad defense. They were able to stop the run as well. Okay, Aaron Rodgers lit him up and threw for four touchdowns. Like, you kind of expected that was going to happen. I thought Sauce did a good job, but Sauce did a good job on DK Metcalf for the most part.
I agree.
Jets were a little unlucky, too, that catch at the end where DK messed it up and then it fell back into his hands.
I know.
Okay, look, guy hits a 60-yarder. What are you supposed to do? Look, the fumble on the kickoff changed the whole game as far as the win-loss thing, but if I'm not about value. You said the Jets are a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's week one of a brand new regime. So if I'm not going to evaluate their season on wins and losses, and I'm not going to do that, I have to be thrilled about everything that we saw from Aaron Glenn and his team. They went out there, they played hard. I'll give you another little thing that I loved about it. Even where maybe the play was blown dead, any loose ball that was around, the Jets were swarming to it. You know, sometimes, okay, well, was it behind the line of scrimmage? Yeah, it was, or it wasn't. It was a forward pass. But if the ball was out there or somebody puts the ball down and he wasn't touched, the Jets were around it.
Yeah.
That, to me, just shows you're in it. You're there. When you look at other games around the league yesterday, guys just don't do that. So the Jets looked to me like a well-coached, prepared team that was going to play the game hard and that's still learning here in week one. I do think that Glenn's going to clean up even some of the other stuff that we saw yesterday.
I can't say how many times I and we, by extension, have sat on our couches for almost a decade and a half, and literally as the game's going on, if you're not asleep, right, from a food coma, you're sitting there saying, all right, this is going to be a run. All right, this is going to be a pass. Like, it was so obvious what the Jets were going to do all these years. Not an ounce of imagination from a play calling perspective. I thought they had a really good balance yesterday, but also I thought they avoided being predictable, so I think that portends good things for the new OC as well, Hangerstrand. But the other thing I would do this. Now, I almost didn't want to say this, but I'm going to say it. I would cut Gibson today.
Whoa.
I would cut him. I would cut him because, to me, that's, number one, he's had ball security issues in the past.
Okay, fair enough.
And if he didn't have ball security issues in the past, I'm not doing that today. But he is very expendable because, quite frankly, he's not very good at his job. And when you're not good at your job and you're sloppy / unreliable, you are expendable. And I know it's cutthroat and it's callous, and I hope that he would latch on with another team and make some money. But that is a chance. It's an opportunity. That's why they lost the game. That is an opportunity for Aaron Glenn to even accelerate the messaging in the building. There are certain things, men, that will not be tolerated. It wasn't a jarring hit with the helmet. It was a strip with the hand. You got to tuck that ball away. I would cut him today.
Yeah, I'm not going to be that drastic. Now, based on past performance, sure, that's a different issue.
Oh, he's done it before with them, Sal. He's been a problem.
I get it. He said it. I never really liked him to begin with, but I wouldn't do it. And if you thought it was good enough to be on your team week one and return kicks.
Well, the kid hurt his hamstring. Yeah. Who was supposed to take his job? I mean, Gibson.
Well, where is he now?
He got hurt. Okay. Gibson, I don't know if he's going to be on IR, but he was out yesterday. Okay. He got hurt early in the game.
Then who's the alternative?
It's Gibson. Yeah. But you know what? If Gibson stinks, there's always another option.
I'm saying, who's the alternative to Gibson right now?
I'm forgetting his name. Who they brought in to take his job, who hurt his hamstring early in the game. Like, Gibson was not supposed to be back there.
Right.
It was supposed to be the other kid.
But if he's not healthy, that's my point. Like,
I know, but what I'm saying is Gibson's not good, so I don't really care who it is. Now, it might not be an upgrade, Sal, but it might be like a wash. But what you're doing, if you can get better, you want to get better. But what you're telling the team is, guys, unacceptable. If you don't know the playbook, if you're not on time, if you don't work hard, if you're not a good teammate, if you can't protect the football and we can't trust you, you got to go.
I just think it's a very tricky thing because then what happens when Breece Hall fumbles?
Well, Breece Hall's better than Gibson. The other way.
I'm just saying
if he keeps doing it, you bench him for Braylon Allen.
Yeah, that's the point. If he keeps doing it, one mistake, it's not just like, well, okay, he made a mistake.
No,
fumbles happen. And yes, Gibson's a different issue because he's had issues in the past, whatever. I'm just saying in general, it's not about, well, he fumbled, we're not going to tolerate that. Yeah, there are ways to do it, whether you bench guys, sit guys. Mistakes are going to happen. Fumbles happen. There's no way to completely clean that up. Same thing with penalties. Penalties are going to happen. You're going to have some late hits, unfortunately. To me, there are different type of... The penalty in the Titans-Broncos game, late in that one, where the Titans were about to get the ball back, and they made a stupid play. a late hit on the quarterback. I forget exactly what it was, but they made a stupid play. Like, there's a difference between a stupid late hit and what happened with Quincy Williams yesterday. I think that was just he made a mistake. He made a bad play. He's got to clean it up. That wasn't a stupid penalty where we've seen the Jets make so many
selfish penalties.
Yeah.
But now, I would differentiate and say that it was still a stupid penalty, but not born out of being selfish. It was born out of being aggressive, which I can live more. The only reason I say that, Sal, is, you know, you have to know the boundaries. It's like if you're a base runner in baseball, you can't run outside the line. You got to have spatial awareness. And I know that things are moving fast and bodies and 80,000 people, 46,000 of which were Steeler fans, of course. Things are flying fast. I get it. But when 2 feet, not one, when 2 feet are 2.5 feet into the white boundary, to me, that's a dumb penalty.
What I will say definitively about Glenn, we'll get back to your calls here, 888-808-1019. If they don't eventually have success, it's not going to be because of him. Yep. It will be because they will not have the proper guy putting the right talent around him. I think Aaron Glenn is a home run head coach. You hear it every time the guy speaks. That was the case from the beginning. And then you got to see it right out of the gate in week one, the way his team played. I'm not into moral victories.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about big picture, where the Jets have been coming from with the ineptitude, like the highest levels of ineptitude, to one game with the new head coach, I think you have to be. If you're a Jet fan, you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not happy with the way that they looked in week one.
I'm pumped. I really am. I do think they've got the right guy now because Aaron Rodgers threw four touchdowns. Like, that Rodgers stuff's going to seep into the mindset, of course. Even though, you know, Aaron's got to say it's not about more victories, and he's absolutely right. But there's got to be a transition from being awful to being competitive, which the Jets were highly competitive. So I'm not going to grade them out and say it's a failed week because they didn't win the game. But did it have to be Aaron Rodgers? Like, that is the one thing, even from a Jets perspective. Like, come on, man, it's Rodgers. No picks, four touchdowns, come on.
You knew that was coming, though. Ray is in Babylon. What's up, Ray?
I'm not happy, but I'm pleased. The Jets put on some performance last night. One thing, gentlemen, that you didn't mention was that the offensive line gave up zero sacks. Think about that.
Yeah.
I'm very I'm high on this offensive line. There was zero sacks. They allowed Fields to pass for 218 yards. Breece Hall was a force yesterday. If we didn't have, you know, that stupid Gibson hit the bricks, get out of here fumble, that was converted into a touchdown. I hate to say this, we could have, should have. I don't want to sound that way.
Dad.
And I really am a Bill Beningo negative Jet fan. I can't be negative this morning.
Yeah.
I'm going to quote Aaron Glenn. It's not a moral victory, but for the love of God, Madonna Mia, there is something to build on.
Attaboy, Ray. I love it. See, that's the sound. That's what I'm talking about right there. Ray, thanks for the call. Now, listen, this isn't even really a nitpick, but it does need to be said. But he's going to figure this out. You can't have one timeout with a minute to go. Like, those, the good teams and the veteran coaches and the coaches who elevate and eventually
put they blew in on that 2-point attempt. That one you can't have.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Come on. Like, so you know, you get the ball with a minute and three left.
And then the play call I thought was bad as well.
On the two-point call, when he threw the fade in the back of the eye.
Come on, dude. You can't do that.
I hated that play. I'm happy you say that. Yeah. That's not on Aaron Glenn. That's on Hangerstrand. But to me, like, the margin for success on a fade to the right part of the end zone with a smallish wide receiver, it's not Megatron or Altoon. I'm on the same page with that. But I got to say one thing, too, because this speaks to something that doesn't just happen in week one. It happens when Glenn first walked in the building that is going to really be good for this team fast moving forward. They give up 14 points in 50 seconds, as we know. And at that point, I'm sitting there saying, all right, this thing just got very wobbly, very fast. And they go from winning big to losing 31-26. What happens after the 14th point and 50th second elapses? The Jets go Hall, Reynolds, Hall, Taylor, Fields, Hall, Fields, penalty, touchdown. So they punched right back. And, you know, that would have been a good time for a team that didn't have any mental toughness or spirit to check out. We played a good first half. Steelers got a lot of Hall of Famers. They got 50,000 fans in here. Let us tap out. We played a good half. They fought back, and they scored again after what was a very tough situation. So they're 0-1, but, boy, it doesn't feel like they're 0-1. It's crazy.
Defense, and obviously they had a lot of points defensively, they allowed a lot of points defensively in Rodgers with the four touchdowns. But still, even with that, remember I talked about with the Giants, I wanted to see if they were going to look dominant at times. Never really got that feel. But with the Jets, whether it was Quinnen Williams, whether it was Will McDonald,
Will looked good.
You got to see a defense with some potential there week one that can be. Again, I know they allowed a lot of the points. Stop the run with the Steelers.
They did. They did. And the knock on Will, he was always like a wiggle and burst guy, but he won a couple of matchups because he, like, could tell he put the time in.
You know, as you go through these games and however you want to dissect it and go over your notes, I only had a couple of negative notes with the Jets, the Gibson fumble, the two-point conversion play call, and the timeout before that. Other than that, I thought it was a good effort from the Jets. And with the Giants, it was just another mess with the same old stuff. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be that way the rest of the year. And obviously, the talk is going to be about Jackson Dart. But for now, based off of week one, the Jets executed what we were expecting. Remember how we had the conversation on Friday, the hope moving forward?
Yeah.
Not about the results this year, but about the hope, reason to believe in each of these teams. We saw it in week one with the Jets, and in week one with the Giants, the biggest reason for hope, he was glued to the bench, rightfully so in Jackson Dart, but everything else was awful.
I think it's a pretty good encapsulation. I agree with most of that. You know, the penalty by Quincy, that's a small thing in the game. Yeah. I mean, fairly small. I mean, we see that a little bit differently. But no, I mean, listen, let's also understand, we should probably weave this into the conversation, like, if, let's say this is year three of Aaron Glenn, and they take the steps and the strides and the progress and the accountability and all those things that we talk about as when he was hired and other coaches, if that's very apparent and they start the 2028 season this way or the 2027 season this way and they lose at home, and they lose at home because they muff a kick return, you know, a couple of bad penalties or a couple of questionable calls, it will be utterly unacceptable. So admittedly, the bar is incredibly low. But I look at it, the thing that really jumps out to me is that they were ready to play the game. They did not punt in the first half. They did not commit a penalty, and they did not allow a sack. A sack. So big-time progress by the Jets. The Giants, the same old broken record until it's not.
All right, we'll get your calls in on both the Jets and the Giants. Andrew is calling from Lawrence. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
It's been a while since I don't know if we spoke, but I usually don't get a hold of you guys. You're so busy. Sal, first of all, my condolences about your brother-in-law.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Really sorry. So I'm a big-time Jets fan. Like, I was born in 69, so just that mentality. So I was watching the game with my son yesterday. Just give me a second. He was getting so sucked into it. I'm like, damn, I just can't do it. And then we had that fumble and that crazy pinball with the Metcalf. I'm like, we're jinxed. So I'm like, maybe we need a Jexorcism. Someone must have sold their soul after 69, and we're never going to see one until we abolish that. Just what is your thoughts? Because yesterday it looked so good to me.
Yeah.
Like I was so excited, but I'm like, oh. I can't believe what happened.
Well, Andrew, let me ask you this. Or anybody that thinks that the Jets are cursed or an exorcism is necessary, what exorcism did the Red Sox perform before they started winning all these World Series with, which was obviously tied into the curse of the Bambino? I know it's something that we latch onto and it's part of lore and it almost helps us, I guess, understand on some deeper level, like our fate. But I don't believe it's always our fate. And you guys know where I stand on that. I think when you hire smart people, and Dolan really is a great example of this because Dolan for 20 years did everything wrong. He finally hired, he went a different route, an agent who he knew had ties around the league and had juice, let him cook, stayed out of his way, and here we are, the Knicks are a top three, top four team in the NBA and have a championship window for a couple of years. Dolan didn't get smarter. Dolan didn't look in the mirror and changed how he operates and runs the Knicks. He just kind of stumbled upon somebody who was good, then he stayed out of his way. It always comes down to that. You have to hire smart people.
Yeah, and we'll find out if Muji and Glenn are the right guys. I think Glenn is definitely the right guy, but we'll find out about Muji and Glenn, and we'll find out then if Woody stays out of their way, but I don't... Look, I understand the feeling as a fan when your team loses a game. Obviously, it happens all the time, right? But if you're evaluating this Jets season, like, I don't know what the expectations are for the fans who are hurt that they lost yesterday, other than, yeah, it hurts to lose a game. It happens. Even the best teams are going to lose 5-6 games throughout the course of the year, and you're certainly not going to be one of the best teams. There were many, many, many more reasons to be proud yesterday if you were a Jet fan than there were to be frustrated. Outside of the end result, which took a miracle with the 60-yard field goal, the catch that shouldn't have been a catch, whatever it may be. Like, yeah, Rodgers got the last laugh. Barely. He really didn't deserve to get the last laugh, even with his four touchdowns. The Jets outplayed the Steelers all afternoon. The fumble on the kickoff happens. It changed the entire feel of the game. But I would come away with that saying, you know what? Man, our quarterback looked great. We ran the football down their throat. Our defense showed signs. We stopped the run. We got to the quarterback at times. The coach says and does all the right things so far. Mm-hmm. He looks like a man out there. He acts like a man, not somebody who's scared of the lights or the questions or the cameras. Yeah. Good God, that's such a big deal, because when you act like that in front of everybody, that's what he's doing in the room with the players.
Correct.
He's also doing it to everybody to see. Nobody's ever going to be able to get him with anything,
yep,
because it's all honest and truth. And he doesn't care what anybody says because he believes his way is the right way.
Yep. I think that's well said. And I think when you are consistently, like emotionally consistent, and how you deliver messaging, I think is going to be embraced, because guys will know where they stand. Listen. No, it's always hard being disciplined, no matter what level you're playing at. But as a pro, even great college players, I guess every level, like, people really do want to get coached. They want to know what to do. The most frustrating thing is when I'm not held accountable because you don't really know what my job description is. If you tell me what to do and I don't do it, it's on me, not you. So I get it. Listen, guys, one of the things that we roll the dice on when we are this passionate with these teams is that we run the risk of getting hurt. That's just the way it is from a sports perspective. Well, that's yesterday. We're hurt because we should have won that game. But I'll say we should have won that game in a lot of ways. But the alternate universe is you sit there in a coma, transfixed on a TV that's spitting back nothing but negativity. 3.5, you know, 12 penalties in a game, minus 14 minutes in time of possession, the turnover rate, -3 or -4, you know, like pretty much every other Jet game for the last 12 to 15 years. I will take this hurt because it will be the bridge to cross into the good.
100%. Philip is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Philip?
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. Look, I agree with everything you guys said. It theologically sounds good. Jaden Daniels, C.J. Stroud, Bo Nix, look, push your chips to the middle of the table and play this kid. If the Giants go 0-4, they're facing the Saints. They got the Eagles after that. They got the Chargers. They got the Vikings, Detroit, Green Bay. Put this kid out there. I've seen the Giants win all four Super Bowls. I haven't seen them have a quarterback with the ability that he has in terms of throwing the ball, running the ball, staying in the pocket. Look, they could lose this locker room. Going 0-4, I think they could lose the locker room. And then what are you doing with the coach and the GM if this team doesn't win three or more games?
Well, they're out. And it's a good call, Philip. Now, first of all, even if you did lose the locker room, and it's a little bit too early for that, but I hear you. I don't think it's crazy talk. I think that it would be won back when they give the football to Jackson Dart, because that youthfulness and that brashness and, let's face it, the kid's a 21-year-old rookie out there looking like he's a hell of a player, you know, rocking this platinum fat chain. This guy's going to fit in the locker room, man. He's going to fit in with that team. So even if there's an element of, oh, here we go again, Russ doesn't really have it, when he gets the football, I think the entire room, or at least most of the room, is galvanized, and they fight for the kid, and they play ball.
Right, but we as fans may want to see that now. You have to make sure once Dable decides to go with Jackson Dart, there is no going back. Who's to say that Jackson Dart's going to go out there and be a stud? Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Because we saw him had some success in a preseason game? That's all of a sudden the answer now? Jackson Dart's the... Like, everybody's going based off of the assumption that Jackson Dart is it. You don't know that. We got to learn about what Jackson Dart is. Yeah, we all want to learn. Of course, I'd rather watch Jackson Dart than I would Russell Wilson, because we know what Russell Wilson is at this point. There's a plan in place. You have to trust them to develop this plan or execute the plan for at least a few weeks, I would think. Then they will eventually go to Jackson Dart, whenever that is. Then we could decide. I wouldn't worry about them losing the locker room because what? Because Malik Nabers wants to see Jackson Dart in there? I mean, if you get to that point, then it's so fractured that there's no way to repair it.
No, I guess it might not matter. You know, it's funny, too. Les Kohler said that. And at least in terms of the skill, I think he's right. Like, they haven't had an athlete that can throw the ball like this, like this kind of profile of athleticism. I mean, obviously, Phil couldn't run. like that, obviously, and neither could Eli, so on and so forth. But you know the irony? Guess who they did have, who was probably the second, or maybe even slightly more? They had Geno.
Yeah.
Geno was that guy. Geno could move. Geno could spin it, and the Giants.
I mean, Jones,
give
too.
Give credit. They tried to play him. Yeah, but Jones, he did, but I don't look at Jones. He had the movement.
Yeah.
I just don't think Jones had the zip and the throwing.
Did you see any of the highlights?
He did yesterday.
I mean.
Well, then why couldn't Dable unlock that? Like, how come in 3 months Daniel Jones has already exercised his demons and his reluctance to throw the ball downfield, but like actually take shots and execute, but in 3 years Dable couldn't get him to do that?
Yeah,
that's on Dable, not Jones.
But that's the point.
I know.
Like, I'm not 100% sold that Daniel Jones would be great with the Colts anyway. But the fact that he could do what he did in week one with them, when he couldn't do that here in basically 3 years, throwing the football down. He had his success in 2022 running the football.
100%.
They didn't let him throw the football down the field. 2023 was supposed to be the year we were told by everybody, okay, they're going to open up the offense now. They have the weapons in place. They trust the offensive line. He's got some weapons to work with. And it was awful. Obviously, he got hurt. Thomas got hurt. Never got to see it. Okay, 2024. Reset. Let's find out. It was awful yet again. One game with the Colts, he did what he couldn't do in 3 years here. You want to go beyond that, but I'm just going with Brian Daboll. With 3 years under Brian Daboll. Unbelievable. So I know you mentioned that you had some action yesterday. How could you not? Like, it's week one. All right. So then I was sitting there on the couch getting everything in order for the day. My wife was actually in Atlantic City, so was taking care of Sammy. She didn't get back till 1:30, so whatever. There's some other issues there. But anyway, I'm trying to get ready for the game. Set your fantasy lineups up.
I think I have to follow up
on the other.
Okay. Off the air?
Yeah, tell you off the air.
Sammy issues or wifey issues?
No issues with Sammy, my little angel.
No issues with him. Can't wait till the next break. Go ahead, bud.
So I'm like, all right, I'm only going to tell you this, like real time, because I want to be real with it. How much money and all that stuff.
Okay.
Now, I used to have a problem. I've told you. Like, I used to get the credit. You know, I have a credit for whatever it is, and I'd be like, hey, can you up the credit?
Yeah,
and I just keep
chasing. I know. We've all been there, dude.
Now I actually can't do it because I just don't have the money to be throwing away thousands or whatever it was. Not like hundreds of thousands, but like $1,000, $2,000, whatever it is, like at the end of the month. Or anyway, so I've been disciplined. Last year I was very good. I told you about it. Like, we would go up and down.
Yeah.
The one game I loved yesterday was the Steelers, -2.5. I loved it. We picked it on the air.
Yeah.
Loved the Steelers.
I remember.
So I put in, I'm like, all right, what should I do here? Do I want to put in 100? Do I want to play a little bit? Like, it's week one. I deposited in my account $200, okay?
Okay. All right.
Fair enough.
Like, zero? Did you add it to anything?
No,
or was that
I
zero?
Had nothing in there.
I got it. Yeah, $200. Bills. Yep.
Let's see what we got.
Yeah, a little action, see how you go.
I put 120 to win 100 on the Steelers -2.5.
Okay.
Lose that by half.
Which, by the way, it moved to three, so you got it.
Well, I bought it at whatever.
Oh, you bought a half a point?
Yeah, like now with the sites, dude.
Yeah, you could buy points. I don't know if you did, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever it is. You know, I was listening to the Costos and all, and the original line was 2.5. I'm like, well, I'm definitely not doing three. I should have just done money line. So then on top of that, I do parlays. This is how I usually bet.
Oh, sucker bets.
I know,
parlays.
But I went Steelers money line,
yep.
Commanders money line,
okay.
Jaguars money line.
There you go.
Falcons money line. Koo misses the field goal to tie late, whatever. Lose that. I also did a small, like, this is $20, like $20 parlay, whatever. Did a small parlay as well with the spreads because you usually get better bang for the buck. I'm like, well, if I'm going to hit it, at least I went in on the four games. I wasn't all over the place, went on the four games. Tough loss, whatever, no problem. Had $30 left for the night parlay.
Okay.
For the night game.
See, you lost 170, boom.
170 out, $30 to recoup. All right, do I want to play this game? You texted me, you love the Ravens.
I
was like, I don't know, man.
-1.5, I loved them.
My feel was Bills at home, but I really didn't have a gut feel. I wasn't going to bet against Lamar, so I didn't pick the game.
Uh-huh.
Did a same game parlay, which I usually don't do. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Went in on Josh Allen. Instead of going like Allen and Jackson, I just wanted to keep it concise, stick to basically one team. Because otherwise, you need so much stuff going on. Josh Allen, over 200 passing yards.
I saw that. You tweeted that, right?
Yeah.
I saw that.
Josh Allen, 2 or more touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen, over 30.5 rushing yards. And Josh Palmer, to over 30.5 receiving yards.
Yep.
I'm losing the entire game. But I'm still within striking distance to a point where I don't go to bed because of it. And this shows you, like, if I didn't have action on the game, I would have been in bed at 35, 20, whatever it was. But I'm like, nah, one more. I'm just one drive away, a big run, a big scramble, a big touchdown pass to Josh Palmer.
Yeah.
So the final drive of the freaking game, Allen scrambles for like 6 yards. He goes over the number. So I've got the 200 passing yards well in the bank. I've got the 2+ passing touchdowns in the bank. Now I've got the rushing yards in the bank. All I need is a completion to Josh Palmer for whatever I want, 10 yards, whatever it is. He throws a pass, completes it to Joshua Palmer. Big time gain, 15 yard, whatever it was. Boom, I win. I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe this. It's almost midnight. I'm not going nuts. But now that, by the way, that $30 bet.
How, I was going to ask you, how much would you have
bucks.
Won?
So I'm back,
right, so
to,
back to...
I would have had 200
money. Back to fighting weight.
Yeah, back to what I had.
Live another weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
I
what
get
you
action
really want.
All day long,
yeah.
And I'm good to go. That's it. Game over. Done. He makes another big pass. He completes to Kenyon. I think it was Kenyon. Whatever his name is. Clark down the middle of the field. Keon, whatever his name is. Coleman maybe
Keon
down
Coleman.
The field. Yeah, Coleman. Big play. He gets tackled just before he can go in the end zone. And now we're in a spot where the clock is running. They don't want to score
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to give the Ravens the ball
oh,
back.
I know.
He starts taking knees.
-2. -3.
Three knees! He took three knees! And that counts as lost yardage. I didn't know that. I usually don't do this.
Yes.
Come on, man. He went over. He rushed for over. Not to mention that he got screwed in a play earlier in the game where he slid for a first down. They marked him down short. It was 9 yards. Should have been 10. That's
oh,
a yard
come
right
on,
there. Dude,
man.
I lost by half a point again.
Half a yard?
Yeah,
really?
Half a yard, right. Half a yard. It was if he went 30. It was 30 and a half. He should have had that extra yard. And he served three knees. One was two. Lost a 2 yards.
Yeah.
The other was one. I'm like, all right, for the love of God.
It's go off tackle, will you?
Whatever. Just anything but a 2 yard loss. 2 yard loss. Like, that just shows
well,
you why.
I feel like you have to reach out to Scotty Van Pelt and maybe he can give you a little love on a bad beat.
Now, you didn't
That's
stay
a
up,
rough one.
You didn't stay up for the game. The Ravens loss was
I
as.
Know.
I mean, that was just as bad.
Yeah, I
mean,
but I had a pretty good day. I jumped in on the Jets. I jumped in on the. Remember, I told you, I think the Dolphins are going to be terrible
right.
this year. And I actually put a little money behind some of my picks from the perfect parlay.
Right.
So I had the Browns at +5.5. Got that.
Right.
These are all separate bets.
Right.
I don't parlay much. Not that I never do, but these were straight shots. I had the Browns +5.5, Jets +2.5. I had the Colts, which I won. They killed
yeah.
them. And I lost the Ravens game. And I was winning.
Did
I was
you put
winning.
It all in the Ravens game? Or
no,
just,
no.
Okay.
I went small sprinkle.
Yeah, I'm
See,
that,
here's
in.
The thing. Once you get a taste, it's yeah. like... Like I say, Pookie with the crack pipe in
I'll tell you
New
this,
Jack
though,
City.
I will never bet that again. Quarterback rushing yards, that's just not right. I did everything right. I had the bet won. He's taking knees at the end of the game. Three knees going backwards.
Well, you understand that sometimes that's called winning formation.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You got to factor that in there. It's on you.
Yeah.
Not his fault.
They weren't
not
even
my fault.
Sal's fault. Think about this. Three knees. They weren't even winning the game.
I know. I'll tell you though, man. That is
that's ridiculous.
That
Come on,
is
man.
About as bad a beat as you can get. Imagine if you had real money on that.
Exactly.
Real money.
That's why I can't do it anymore. Like No, dude. Real money. Yeah,
who you got tonight?
No, I'm out. That's it. No more deposits.
You're taking the Bears tonight.
Maybe,
what are you doing?
Maybe the week 2. I got. By the way, the perfect parlay. I have a 10. I got 10 for the. Correctly predicting the winner of the Commanders and Jets.
See, this
game.
Is what I mean. This is what I mean.
I said
this on Friday that, you know, when you go with the heart over the head, because I want the Jets and the Giants. Like, I research this stuff.
Right.
Like, I dive into these picks. And obviously, I'm not going to win them all. But when I give you picks on Friday, the totals or the over-unders are the, you know what I mean, the size of the totals, those are researched. I'm putting money behind that stuff. Like, the Jets and the Giants, which is less. But it adds up over 17 games in 18 weeks.
Well, you just picked the winner.
I know. But
did you get? I forget who you picked.
I picked the Jets and I picked the Giants.
Oh, so you're
donut.
You got a Ziggy.
I got a Ziggy.
You get the Ziggy on the board.
Half
split it. So I have 10. Half has 5. BT, even though you won, were accounted with the money.
Yeah.
I'm again leading the perfect parlay after 1 week.
It's very early, and the way you lost that parlay, the other parlay that I know you would probably prefer more
I
to
give
win.
Up my 10 points right
I wouldn't
now.
I wouldn't break too much. I get the Steelers and the Commanders, but you guys jumped in, and it's all right. It's early.
I can make those up.
All good. Right.